your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we will take our text. We'll make a couple of references from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but we'll spend most of our time in Ephesians chapter 5. At least that's where we'll get our text from. Appreciate each one here today. Of course, we have about 20 more downstairs in the junior church, and about another 10 or so in the nursery. So pray for those guys. Amen. And I appreciate the nursery workers. You know, I appreciate everybody who helps out with that. It gives moms a break. And I've heard preachers say, I can out-preach a baby anytime. I can preach louder and longer than he can scream. I'm not in a contest. Amen. And you get about, I don't know if I can preach louder and longer than 10 babies can scream and cry. Amen. And so I'm glad, I appreciate those. That's a ministry, amen? That is a ministry to serve in the nursery. And I guess probably just as important as what I'm doing, because if we didn't have them, you know, you couldn't hear me, amen, or the preacher. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse 25. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And you can relax, fellas. I'm not going to be preaching about you loving your wife this morning, although I think you ought to. Amen. And we're not going to get off on that. And, we might. We'll see. Verse 26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." He's talking about the church. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Christ, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. The church is important. Amen. I've had folks say, well, you know, we went door knocking one time and asked this fellow, said, "Do you know the Lord?" And he said, "Oh, he's everything. I'm saved and he's everything and he's my whole life." And I said, "That's wonderful. Where do you go to church at?" "Oh, I hadn't been to church in 25 years. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's something wrong with that. Amen. There's something wrong with that. And the Bible, you know, Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for it. Jesus said, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church is important. And but he says that he might sanctify, verse 26, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's the word of God. That's why we preach the word of God in the church. Amen. And I need clean. I tell people, I'm not afraid to get dirty, but I'm going to tell you something. It feels awful good to get clean, don't it? Amen. You get out there in the field, you get hot and sweaty. Maybe you're building something. You've been sawing that day, got sawdust all over. You got that sawdust, you know, it's down in the grit, and it's done. You know, you're sweating, and that thing throwed it on you, and you're all gritty and smelly, and you go give your wife a kiss, and she wants nothing to do with that. Amen. And so you go, you get in the shower, or as us old Southern boys say, the shower. Amen. And you turn that water on, and especially down in the summertime, I like to start off with lukewarm, okay? I don't like hot water in the summertime. I start off lukewarm and work my way colder, amen? And you know, you get that thing, get all lathered up, and get your wash rag lathered up good and scrubbed down. Man, I tell you what, it feels good to get clean, amen? And but he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. Let me just say this, it feels good to get clean spiritually too, amen? You ever feel dirty spiritually? I do. There's some days, let me use an old, I don't know what kind of word this is, but you ever just feel just plumb grungy, amen? And boy, you get on your knees and you begin to talk to God and you begin to confess things to God and get things right, and boy, it feels good to get clean down on the inside, amen? David said, "Purge me with hyssop." He said, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." He said, "My sins ever before me." Verse 27, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Now let's pray. Father, Lord, we've already been blessed. Father, the special, Lord, the special with the piano special, Lord, with the two ladies playing. And Lord, what a blessing. And Father, then the choir. And Lord, Lord, as we sang, just the hymn, a simple hymn, "Footprints of Jesus." And Father, how it took our heart and mind back to when I was a little boy, riding down the road in the car, and that was one of the songs that my mama would sing, talking about the following Jesus. And Father, we've been blessed. And Father, we pray now, Lord, you ordained, Father, the preaching of the cross and the preaching of the Word of God. And, Father, I just pray this morning that you would help us. Father, you've called us, you've placed us, and help us now, Lord, to do what you called us to do. Lord, help us be a blessing. Lord, if there's one here today that's discouraged and frustrated, and they just feel like throwing in the towel, God, help us to help them. Father, maybe one here today that needs to trust Jesus as Savior. They've heard the old story over and over. They realize they're a sinner. They realize that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins, but they've never put their faith in Christ. They've never got on their knees and asked Christ to come in their heart and be their Savior, forgive them of their sins. Father, I pray that before the sun goes down today, I pray that person that is sitting amongst us right now, Father, if there is one like that, I pray that they'd trust Christ before this day's over. Father, that they'd go to sleep tonight being washed in the blood of the Lamb for the first time, the first night's rest after being saved, Father. I pray, Lord, that today would be that day. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to lift up Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention to verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27 is what I was looking for. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. A glorious church. That's what I want to speak to you about this morning. I had another message. I have another message on my desk, the outline, about 5 pages long. I've got about 5 hours in that message. And God said, not today, or not this morning. And so here's another one that I worked on. I had the outline laying on my desk. I'd worked on it some and jotted down a few thoughts. And so I'm going to give you this morning. A glorious church. A glorious church. Hey, Christ wants a glorious church. He is preparing a glorious church. He gave himself for that church, amen. And now he gave us his word to sanctify and cleanse that church. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. I didn't even make that connection. I love how the Bible ties together, don't you? Way over in the Psalms, 1,000 years before Christ hung on the cross, it says that he said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. And then later on, he wrote a verse very similar to that in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. In John 15:3, the Bible says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. The word of God will clean you up. Amen. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's get into this thing. Hey, to be a glorious church. Here, he said he wants a glorious church. And to be a glorious church, first of all, we must have a great message. A great message. Or we could say we must have a glorious message. Amen. Hey, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, we must have a glorious message. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of messages going around out there. There's a lot, you know, we text messages back and forth, and most about a good percentage of the time when I get a text, I'll answer them back, and I'll end that text with these words, I hate texting, amen? But I've gotten a little bit more used to it, not as bad as used to, but there's a lot of messages. But let me say this, my friend, to be a glorious church, we must have a glorious message, or a great message, a great message. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation, amen? Hey, it's a wonderful message. It's a glorious message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In verse 21 of the same chapter, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Drop down two more verses, but we preach Christ. Amen. It's a glorious message, my friend. It's a great message. It's a powerful message. Amen? It's a message of hope. It's a message of hope. I want to tell you something, my friend. As I look around the world, I run into more and more people that seem to be hopeless. I see people, they've listened to this message, they've listened to this message, and they've swallowed this idea, and they've swallowed this idea, and they've been to this program, trying to quit something, trying to get help. When, my friend, the honest truth is, help is in Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's a message of hope. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I wonder how many people that verse has given hope to. Maybe they were down. Maybe they were defeated. Maybe they realized. Maybe somebody had turned over a new leaf and they had swallowed the pill of the do good gospel and do better and do the best you can. And there they do the best they can. And they quit this. They quit this only to fall back into it later on. And they go on and on and on trying to do good and trying to do better, and then realize they're a failure. My friend, let me say this. I'm glad my Savior wasn't a failure. Amen. My friend, you know, the gospel of do good. My friend, you can't do good enough to get yourself to heaven. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Over in Isaiah, we are all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. My friend, the very best you can do in God's sight is filthy, stinking rags. My friend, somebody said this. I've said it before myself. Said the very best you can do will put you right in the center of the lake of fire. But my friend, I'm glad we have a message of hope. Amen. I'm glad that the message of Christ, it's a glorious message. The glorious gospel of Christ will take an old sinner who's hellbound and hellbent and he can't save himself and he's done the best he can and he's fallen short of the glory of God as the Bible tells us. And yet the message of the gospel gives us hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's a glorious message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of help. It's a message of help. I think of Psalm 142 and verse 4. He says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And over in Psalm 34:6, the Bible says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. I'm glad that when I realized I was a lost sinner and I couldn't help myself and I couldn't save myself, I cried to somebody. I cried out, and I claimed that glorious promise of the glorious gospel of Christ. And He saved me. It's a message of hope. It's a message of help. It's a great message. My friend, let me say this. In order to be a glorious church, we must have a great message. Secondly, let me say this, my friend. In order to be a glorious church, we must have a great manuscript. I know I talk about that a lot. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad we've got the Bible, aren't you? I'm so glad we have the Word of God. Hey, listen. I mean, there's not a week that goes by that I don't need that book. I mean, something will happen or something will come up. I need it to try to help somebody else that needs help. I need it to try to help my own self. And I think of that verse over there where it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Numbers 21 and verse 3 or 4 right there. The Bible says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You ever get discouraged? You ever get frustrated? You ever need help? I want to tell you something, my friend. This old book helps me. I'm going to tell you, my friend, there's not a week that goes by that something doesn't come up that I need that book. Why do people turn to drinking? Why do people turn to drugs? Why do people turn to pornography and all these other things? I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I believe a lot of it is because they ignore that book. We don't make enough of this book. This book will save you. It'll cleanse your way. We've already quoted that verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. My friend, it's a wonderful book. It's a great manuscript. It's a life-giving manuscript, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There in Hebrews chapter 4, you know the verse. The Word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick there means quickening, life-giving. Amen? Life-giving. It's a life-giving book. It's a life-changing book. Well, I tell you what, when I got saved, I haven't always pleased the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. I got saved as a 10-year-old boy, and my life has never been the same. It's never been the same. I didn't say I've never failed the Lord. I didn't say I haven't sinned or done things wrong since then. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Since I got saved, when I did do something wrong, the Holy Ghost of God is on the inside saying, why'd you do that? Why'd you go there? Why'd you say that? It's a life-changing book. I tell you what, this old book will give you hope. It'll give you help. It'll lift you up in a time of need. Let me say this. It's a life-giving book, a life-changing. It's a ministry-sustaining manuscript. It's a ministry-sustaining manuscript. I wonder how many times preachers have wanted to quit. I wonder how many times have they've been on the verge of quitting, or maybe a Sunday school teacher, you're ready to quit, you're ready to throw in the towel. Boy, you run across that verse over there in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I mean, I can see Jeremiah now. I can't stand it no longer. I got to preach Christ. Amen. He's put a message in my heart. He's put a message in my bones. I'm going to be like a big old pressure cooker and explode. I look like I'm about to explode. Amen. You know, but I'm going to be like a big old pressure cooker and explode. Somebody said, well, preacher, why don't you just do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you just do this? I want to tell you something. I can't quit. I can't lay down. God's called me. Man, he's put something on the inside of me. It's a ministry-sustaining book. Well, I tell you what, yeah, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have trials in the ministry, amen? I mean, you're going to have frustrations and trials and tears, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend, this old book will sustain you. Sunday school teacher, you've got a ministry. This old book will sustain you. Mama, you've got a ministry. There is no more important ministry than what you have, Mama and Daddy. And I'm going to tell you something. This book will help you do it too, amen? It'll help you do it. Sad to say, the society we live in, we've got away from this book. We stopped obeying this book. We think we know psychologists and society today, the greater minds of today, the more educated minds of today think they know better than this book when it comes to raising children. And we're raising a bunch of heathens, amen? Don't know how to keep your britches up. Look like something come out of a freak show. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If God wants your face speckled and with snakes all over your face and teeth coming out of your ear and spikes coming out of here, I believe he'd have put them there. Amen? And Mom and Dad, it's our job to see that they don't turn out that way. You have a ministry. I'm thinking the phrase in the Bible, seeing we have this ministry. We have a great manuscript. A great manuscript. We have a great... Let me say this, my friend. In order to be a glorious church, we've got to have a great message. We've got to have a great manuscript. Now, I say this as humbly as I can. I believe we need a great minister. A great minister. Hey, and I'm not talking about necessarily an educated one. I'm not talking about necessarily this or this or this. But let me give you what I wrote down here. First of all, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17... In verse 17, there we use this several verses there, but let's back up to verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He's sent of God, amen? I tell you what, I still believe in a call to preach, amen? I believe in a call of, I didn't get no amens there. I believe in a call of God on a person's life to preach the gospel. Paul said, I thank my God. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul said, we preach Christ. He's sent of God. Verse 23, I just mentioned, but we preach Christ. A great minister is going to lift up the Lord Jesus. He's not going to go around shining a flashlight on himself. He's not going to go around building himself up, but a great minister is going to lift up Jesus. I heard a great preacher one time. Say this, he said, make much of Jesus, and he'll make much of you. My friend, you can't help anybody on your own. I can't help anybody. My friend, I can point them to the one who can. Amen? We need to point them to the one who can. A great minister is one that is sent of God. He's one that lifts up Christ. My friend, let me say this, he's one that loves his sheep. Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, Paul said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. There in that verse, the Apostle Paul has said, I'd be willing to die and go to hell if Israel would be saved. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. A shepherd ought to love his sheep, amen? He ought to love his sheep. He needs to tend his sheep. Amen. Let's go on. Be a glorious church. We've got to have a great message, a great manuscript. This is the last one. You say, well, preacher, you said a great minister, but I don't stop there. I believe to be a glorious church, we've got to have great members. Amen? We've got to have great members. Hey, first of all, my friend, saved members. Amen? It's good if your church members are saved. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We as Baptists, we preach, we believe in, and I know what we believe. I'm just trying to think of the word, the term for it. We believe in believer's baptism. We believe you get saved before you get baptized, amen? We don't believe that baptism saves anybody. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized, the Ethiopian eunuch, or Philip told the eunuch. A saved member, ye must be born again. I want to tell you something, my friend. We live in the South. You can knock doors about anywhere you want to. Oh, I'm saved. A lot of those people don't know more about salvation than a hog knows about Sunday. Amen? I mean, they know the terminology. They've heard it. They know it. Yeah, I believe in God. I'm saved. I'll tell you something, my friend. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I like that old song. I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. And I'm off key. Amen? I was there when it happened. I can take you to I can't tell you the date. I've told you that. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. I can take you down to Lenore City. We can roll off of exit 81 there and hang a right on 321, or we used to call it old 90 or new 95. Go up there and hang a left on Highway 70, headed towards Wampers Meat Market. My friend, you go about a half mile up Highway 70 there when you turn left going west. My friend, there's a little church sitting there on the hillside, Community Baptist Church in Eaton's Crossroads. And my friend, sitting there's a field beside that church. I can walk you out in that field. I don't know how close I can get you, but I can get you pretty close to where I got on my face and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ come in my heart and be my Savior. And He changed my life and it's never been the same. I can take you to the place. I was there when it happened and I ought to know. Can you say that? I didn't say, did you pray a prayer? Although when I got saved, I prayed a prayer. But I begged the Lord Jesus come to my heart and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I didn't do it because other people did it. I didn't do it because somebody was pressuring me. Although I did have a fellow come and talk to me. I thank God that he did. I probably would have went forward if he hadn't. I was sitting back there wanting to get saved. I was scared to get up and go down and get saved. Saved members. Studied members. To be a glorious church. I'm going to tell you something. Church member, if all you get of the Word of God is what you get on Sunday morning, man, you're missing out. You're missing out. Now, you can tell I haven't missed out on too many meals, amen? I'm pigging out, not missing out. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. We need to read the book, amen? We need to read the book. We need to be in the book. I'm going to tell you something. You get in the book on Monday through the week, and you come to church, and the preacher's going to touch on something, and you're going to get blessed. You know why? Because, man, I read that in my devotion this week. Boy, that's good, preacher. I don't know how many times I've had Sunday school teachers come up to me and said, you've been looking at my notes? I said, man, preacher, said, you preached on the same thing I taught on this morning. That's scary. Well, maybe somebody needed a double dose of it. Amen? But we need to be in the book. I always encourage people, a new convert, hey, read the Gospel of John, read the book of Genesis, read Romans, read Psalms, read Proverbs. You won't understand everything you read, but read it. It'll speak to your heart. Saved members, studied members, steadfast members. I'm amazed at people. Up one day, down one day, here the one day, and here another day. Led this way one day, led another way another day. Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable. I had a lady come here years ago. Oh, preacher, she told me this wonderful story, how they were coming from Kentucky and they'd been praying about, and said, we just come down the road one day and we turned right on this road and we led right to this house and we knew this is where, and we found this house and we come out of the subdivision and we turned this way and we went right out and God led us right to this church. I know this is where God led us to be. And then they left in about 2 years. Amen. I don't understand people that, you know, this is where God. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, preacher, and he came to this church, he was mad at God. He was mad at God. He told the Lord, I'll never serve you again. But he came because his wife and his kids came. We just loved him. We didn't put pressure on him. We just loved him, just got up and preached. I remember the night he was sitting about right there where Brother Mike's at. He got up. He stepped out of the aisle. He stepped out in the aisle. That was kind of unusual. So I stepped down to meet him. He said, preacher, would you pray with me? I need to get right with God. And later on, he said, I don't know why anybody would want to come to this church. I mean, here's a man who moves from another state, moves up here, and I mean, he's mad at God. God's worked in his life. His kids are getting saved. Kids getting right. And he got right and said, I'll never serve God again. And then, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need steadfast members. Amen. I mean, my friend, if God led you here, I believe this is where you ought to be. Amen. Steadfast in your family there. Paul said, Ephesians said, love your wives, even if Christ also loved the church. I don't want to be unkind. I'm so sick of marrying people. It's God's will that we be together. Oh, preacher, we know this is God's will, and 3 years later they're divorced. I'm so sick of that. We need to quit lying, amen? We need to quit coming to the altar and making lies. I understand things happen. I can only find one good reason in the Bible to divorce, and I can add one to it. That's about it. And I don't even know if I'm right in adding that one. Amen? We fell out of love. This and this. Most people in this church that, and I'm not trying to browbeat anybody that is, most of you are within those two guidelines. But steadfast. Great members. They're saved. They're studied. They're steadfast. Let me give you one more. Stalking. Boy, I can't preacher got up and thank believe preacher got up and said we ought to be stalking people. Amen. I'm gonna tell you something. I believe a great church is a church that stalks sinners. Amen. I'm gonna tell you something, my friend. Hey, we had a great time yesterday, Brother Martin, Miss Sandy. We had a good time yesterday. Amen. We went up there. I told somebody. I said, you know, you're getting old when you enjoy something like this. Amen. We walked up there. We walked out on the thing. And our jackets on. And we looked at it, and it's beautiful. I mean, drop-dead gorgeous scenery. I've been all over. I thought I'd been all over Tennessee, but I'm going to tell you something. I seen some rock formations yesterday like I ain't never seen in Tennessee. Amen? Gorgeous. Up on the mountain looking down the valley. And I said, now when I was a kid, I'd have wanted to jump all over them rocks. Amen? I'd have wanted to jump in the top of one of them treetops and bent that bad boy over. Amen? And come out of there scratched up, ticks all over, having a good time. Amen? But I was happy to just walk out there and say, wow, ain't that pretty? Where's my hamburger at? Amen? And, I'm for that. Man, we had a good time of fellowship. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You missed it. And that's good. I'm going to tell you something. The day that we stop going after sinners, the day we stop knocking on doors, the day we stop handing out tracts, the day we stop asking people, where are you going when you die? We lose our right to exist as a local church. We're not a glorious church if we're not going after sinners. Stalking church. I remember one old boy talking about some group of some ministry on this campus, and he said some old sinners running across the campus said, no, I don't want to get saved. He said, three soul winners chasing him. Oh, yes, you do. Amen. You can't make anybody get saved. I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be after it. Amen. And we ought to have the attitude that this is the glorious thing that we have here. Amen. Too many times a soul winner, he's got the attitude of, hey, bud, you wouldn't want to get saved, would you? I'm sorry to have to ask you this. And I know I'm probably out of line and I'm a weirdo and you probably don't want what I have, but you wouldn't want to get saved, would you? That don't sound to me like too much of a glorious gospel, amen? It's a glorious ministry, my friend, and because we have a glorious message, and we've got some glorious members, amen? I was encouraged the other night. I'm encouraged when I see these bus workers going out on the way, and some of these teenagers coming and helping them. Hey, listen, I know it gets frustrating. I mean, you want to pick up a cat and throw it across. That's a good thing to do. You know, you want to pick up a cat and throw it, and just all kind of things. I mean, the devil putting in your way. But my friend, let's be a glorious church, amen? We've got a glory. Hey, listen, we've got everything going for us. We've got a glorious message, amen? It's a life-changing, life-giving message. There's victory in Jesus, amen? We've got a glorious manuscript. Hey, I went to pastor school three years ago, and it was the 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible, and people are taking note. Even the secular world, they took note of the fact that, hey, you know, most Bibles they're there and gone in 20 years. When's the last time you heard somebody read about come out with the Living Bible? Or I mean, NIV is the big thing now, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, give it 400 years. You won't be able to find one of them things, amen. Hey, we got a glorious manuscript. It's a life-changing, life-giving manuscript. It's a ministry-sustaining manuscript, amen. And God gave us preachers. The Bible says He gave to the church some pastors and teachers. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what else I could do, amen. I mean, I've got a decent business head on my shoulders, and I could make money doing that, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend. God called me, amen. And I thank the Lord for Brother Cleveland and Brother Condit was here. And man, thank God for these old preachers. I look at them. I don't look at them. I want to tell you something, my friend. These are old soldiers, amen. And thank God for them. Many times, these guys are wounded warriors, amen? I like the Wounded Warrior Project, don't you? I'm going to tell you, there's some wounded warriors sitting out in our pews from time to time. Hey, let's be a glorious church because we have a glorious message. And my friend, I want to tell you something. As a pastor, I think I've got some glorious members. I got a few members that are saved. Amen. Amen. Hey, I got some that are stalking members and steadfast and studied. A glorious church. Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. I'm just glad to be a part of that glorious church, aren't you? Let's stand for prayer.